Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy and sin. All my days I've been healing from the moment that I woke till I lay. Oh, I am of the good. Oh, if you have been faithful, oh, if you have been faithful, there is no thing I can say for. Oh, I am of the good. God, Lord, your God, you have led me in darkest night. You are so like no other. I've known you as the Father, known you as the Son. I have been in the goodness of God. All my life has been faithful. All my life has been faithful. Every time that I have faithful. I
Yahweh, Yahweh, your name is Yahweh. You are worthy of all praise. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this here morning, for this day that you have allowed us to enter in. And, O God, we ask you to forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We ask, Father God, that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, we ask that you would touch the north wind, the south wind, and the east wind, and that you would take this word that you have given to us all over the world, take us in the darkest place of the world, that light might come forth in someone's heart that hear this word, O God, and that they may make a decision, O God, to serve you, to live for you, to be obedient unto you. In the awesome, mighty name of God, we pray. We bless the name of the Lord Jesus for all that he's done, all that he's doing, and all that he will do, because he is the mighty God. There's no other God like him in heaven or earth, or in the ocean or under the earth. He is God all by himself, and he stands out among all the other gods. No one can defeat him. No one is over him or under him or around him. He is above all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we just thank God. We praise God. We are doing part two of the message from Saturday. And we are talking about don't let sin destroy your soul. Don't let sin, from Friday. Friday's a message we did. Don't let sin destroy your soul. I heard this scripture this morning, so let's go there and look at it first thing. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Don't have this written down on the page, but I believe I need to put this in. And this is what I heard this morning. He says, let's read up first, verse 1, Revelation chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. This is the angel of the Lord, one of God's ambassadors of heaven. And he is part of the heavenly host. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be released a little while. Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years, but after that he's going to be released for a little while or a short time. And the Bible says, hallelujah, glory to God. He must be loose in little season. He said, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, had judgment, and judgment was, let me read this again, I don't know why it's fading to me. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, I heard the scripture this morning when I got up. I've shared that scripture many times. But the point is that we are dealing with, I want you to see that we want to be in the first resurrection, not the second. The second is when those that are still sleeping for 1,000 years, when they rise up for the judgment, they will be condemned to hell, to the lake of fire and brimstone, where they will be tormented day and night, without any ceasing. They will be in pain and sorrow all the time, no reprieve. See? So this is where the soul dies. They die spiritually. All of us are going to die physically, but we don't want to die spiritually. Understand? We want to live so that we can have our heavenly body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let us go over to the book of Genesis. We're going to do a few scriptures, about 4 or 5 scriptures in the book of Genesis, and then we're going to go somewhere else. Let's go to Genesis chapter 39. We're talking about don't let sin destroy your soul. You know, sometimes we are getting to something that feel good, taste good, look good, my God, but it's not good for us. You know, we smile and we giggle and we tell somebody, oh, yeah, I was with him, I was with her. Man, we had such a good time. Oh, we was up all night doing the dirties. You know how we talk. All that time you're giving your soul, let me say we. All that time that we're doing that, we're giving our soul to the devil. The devil is laughing because he have control over our soul, and he has us doing things that does not glorify God. I'm looking at these preachers, and I was with my overseer on Friday and Saturday night. I didn't get here until some of the 3 o'clock Saturday night, so I was so tired I overslept, and I said, "Well, I'm going just going to stay home." I didn't even go to the church on Sunday morning. I was too tired because I was in the house Friday and Saturday night. and had a good time in the Lord. I shared a little bit, you know, a little bit of the word of God and prophesied a little bit. But I tell you something, that Satan is some mess, man. He'll do everything. He'll do everything within his power to come to your mind, to get in your mind, to drop a word in your mind to discourage you, to make you feel that God has given up on you. Devil is some mess, you know. And it doesn't matter. I tell somebody, I said, you know, I'm talking to somebody. I said, do you know that God came to seek and save that which is lost? And so many people are running around saying, I remember when I found God. And I always say, no, you didn't find God. God found you because God never was lost. There's no way in the Bible. I look all through from Genesis to Revelation, and I ain't seen no place where they say God was lost. But I know it said that we were lost. We were lost in our sin. And sin is darkness. We were lost in our sin. And he came and drew us out of that darkness of sin and drew us into his marvelous light, the light of righteousness, the light of holiness. He drew us into that. That's what God did for us. In the book of Genesis, chapter 39, and we're going to pull this from two different books, the NLT and Amplify. Genesis, the logos come up. Let's go to the Amplify. We want to come up to Amplify. Hallelujah. Genesis 39, start at verse 1. We're going to do about 9 verses in here. And it said, when Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelites, traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guards for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Now, in the Amplify, he says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain and chief executioner of the royal guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the who had brought him down there. But the Lord was with Joseph, and he, though a slave, was successful and prosperous. Man, he was a successful and prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, or Potiphar's house. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to flourish and succeed in his hands. Now you see this, that Joseph's brothers sold him to the Ishmaelites. And the Ishmaelites sold him to Potiphar. Potiphar brought him to Egypt. And even though that Joseph was a slave, God was still with him. God was with Joseph. That's the computer not pulling in. He was with Joseph. Let me get this up on here. I want you to know this. Yes, okay. He was with Joseph. And you might be going through some things, but I want you to know that if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, and you have made him your Savior, your Lord, and your soon coming King, I want you to know that God is with you. He promised he will never leave you or forsake. You must understand this. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 39. Hallelujah. We're talking about don't let sin destroy your soul. And we did some verses out of Revelation chapter 20. To show you that your soul can be destroyed. You know, he said in Ezekiel chapter 18 and 4, all souls are mine, but the soul that sinneth shall die. Hallelujah. This is what he says. We got to understand this. Let's go back here. Let me move to another computer because I have one computer there that is circling. It is searching, but it's not doing anything. You know. Okay, let's pull this one up here on here. Genesis chapter 39. I want to work this in the Amplify. because it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Mm.
Genesis. Hallelujah. I'd rather have the favor of the Lord and all this other stuff that's going on. Because when you have the favor of the Lord, you have everything, everything at your disposal. Everything. You have mercy and grace. You have love, compassion. Everything is at your disposal if you have the favor of the Lord. Some people are going after diamonds and gold and silver and all this stuff that's going to perish. I was watching a thing on Facebook this morning, and somebody had this post on Facebook. Well, they sent it to my page. So the man was going after money, and he was running after all of this money. So finally he got all the money that he wanted, but he was at the end of his life, and the road has run out. Because on the road where the money was, it was continuous short, and he was going on this highway and going out. The money was in the atmosphere, and he was going after the money. He wasn't concerned about anything else. And I could see him. He going after the money. And they will show you on the page how he's running after money. And when he got the money, he had the money on his chest. It was so much money that he couldn't even hold it all. But it show you that the road had gotten to the end. The road had run out. It looked like it was a cliff, and he was going to drop off the cliff, and the money couldn't save him. What I got from the story is that the money couldn't save him. He had all the money, but the road had run out. Understand? I want more of Jesus. I heard Michael McDowell sing the song "Stay." He said, "I don't want you to go." He says his heart is burning inside him. I want more of Jesus. I want more of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to have a greater understanding. I want to have a greater relationship with him. Here in this book here, we're talking about Joseph. I like how the Amplified Bible talks about it. It says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain and chief executioner of the royal guard and Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. They brought him down there and sold him. But the Lord was with Joseph, and though a slave, was a successful and prosperous man, though he was a slave, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. He was in Potiphar's house. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to flourish and succeed in his hand. Everything Joseph did, the Lord was with him. So Joseph is prospering. Everything that he does, hallelujah. He was a dreamer, and God was giving the interpretations of the dream. See, all through the book of Genesis, you can hear this. Genesis chapter 21, verse 22. Genesis 26, verse 27 and 28. Genesis 41, verse 38 and 39. All this is showing you how God was with Joseph, and he prospered. He said, so Joseph pleased Potiphar and found favor in his sight, and he served him, and his master made him supervisor over his house, and he put all that he had in his charge. See, God is giving supernatural favor. From that time, from the time that he made him supervisor in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. See, when you in a place, whoever is taking you in will be blessed because of you and whose you are. Hallelujah, glory to God. You may go over there and say, well, you know what, I'm going over here, and I'm going to become a member of Sister Body Church. And that was kind of stagnated at some point. Seemed like the church wasn't growing. But no sooner you get in that church, the atmosphere changed. Things start happening. You may have an overstay at somebody's house. You may have to stay there for a couple of months because, you know, you have financial problems. You know, things, you lose your job or something. And things going on, but God pulling you back up. That person is there to help you, and at the same time, they're going to get blessed because they're helping you. This is what happened in here. Potiphar is prospering. Everything, everything, his house is blessed because Joseph is in the house. He said, look, look, glory to God. From that time, he made him supervisor. Potiphar made Joseph in control over everything he had. He says his house began to be blessed. He said, and the Lord's blessing was on all that he had in the house and in the field. And Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's charge and paid no attention to anything he had except the food he ate. Now, Joseph was an attractive person and fine looking. This is the Amplified Bible. Then after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes upon him. Potiphar's wife now wants to see, because Joseph got control over everything. The only thing he don't have no control over is Potiphar's wife. But she wants Joseph. Joseph is sold out to Jehovah El Shaddai. He's sold out to Jehovah Jireh. He is sold out to Jehovah Shabbat. He is sold out to Jehovah Tishkenu. Jehovah Shalom. He is sold out to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Not Potiphar. Joseph is concerned about his Savior. Now listen to what he said. Listen, look, look. Then after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, see here, with me in the house, my master has concern about nothing. In other words, look, as long as I'm in his house, the master, Potiphar, he can go and do his work for the Pharaoh. He don't have to worry about anything because he knows I'm going to take care of everything that he has, except you. Hallelujah. He said he has put all that he has in my care. He is not greater in this house than I am. Nor has he kept anything from me except you. For you are his wife. How then can I do this great evil and sin against God? He wasn't even thinking about Potiphar. He was thinking about his God. He said, how can I do this great thing? Potiphar's giving me charge over everything, but how can I do this thing and sin against my God? How can I sleep with you, woman? You are my master's wife, but I belong to Jehovah. Hallelujah. I have a covenant with Jehovah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Spoke to Joseph day after day, but he did not listen to her, to lie with her, or to be with her. Then it happened about this time that Joseph went into the house to attend to his duties. And none of the men of the house were indoors. None of the other slaves were indoors. That's what he's saying. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. See, sometimes you got to leave some stuff behind. Instead of getting engulfed in sin, because your soul is important. Don't go after the things that make your flesh, satisfy your flesh. Hallelujah. Don't be like Eve. See, Satan wanted to deceive each and every one of us. Pastor was saying, overseer was saying, Saturday night, he said, look, he said, it's a shame that so many leaders have preached so well, have taught so well, and they've gotten to the end of the road where they are being deceived. I said, wow. He said, he began to talk, and then after the service, he and I was talking. And he was telling me about the shame of all of these great men of women of God and how they are allowed the devil to come in and fail and cause them to fail. See, this money look good. I want some money. I ain't going to tell nobody no lie. I want some money because
I can have a lot of God's people out there that are suffering. God's got some people in the world that are suffering. They ain't got no food. They ain't got no place to live. They don't have any shelter. So I want some money. I'm going to have them. If nobody else want to have them, I'm going to have them. So I said, God, send me some money. I need some money. I don't want money to put to take me away from God. If it's going to take me away from God, I don't need it. You got to have that mindset. Anything that's going to take you from God, that's going to cause you to sin and pull you out of God's presence, you don't need it. Because sin will take you out of God's presence. That's what it does. Remember in the garden? No. The moment that they sinned, what did it do? They went and hid, Adam and Eve. They went and hid in the bushes, thinking God can't see them in the bushes. But God would call out to you even while you're in the bushes. He would call out to you. He know you're in the bushes. And then he calls you to speak. Who told you? You know, listen to what he said. This is so powerful. I wouldn't plan to go so far in this word, this chapter, but I'm going to put it up there. Glory to God. A lot of people, you all know this chapter, but here in the Amplified, it's so beautiful. The Logos Bible have it too in the NLT, but this Amplified is so sweet here. Glory to God. He leave his garments in her hands. And when she saw that he had left his garments in her hand and had fled away, she called to the men of her household. She called to the other slaves and said to them, behold, he, your master, the one that my husband leave in charge. That's why he is master over everybody and all the other slaves. Potiphar had given him that authority. But listen to what she's saying to the other slaves. He, your master, has brought in a Hebrew to us to mock and insult her. He's talking about her husband. Her husband had put Joseph in position. Joseph is also the master. And Potiphar is master to Joseph. Hallelujah. And she now saying that he brought this Hebrew boy over here to mock them. Mock her and mock them. It says, he came in where I was to lie with me. And I screamed at the top of my voice. Said, yeah, the devil will lie on you too. I want you to know that. Because that's what he is. He's a master of deception. That's why you have to always have your P's and Q's together. Make sure. I hear the pastor says, he says, man, I don't cross every T and dot every I. He said, but every day I'm trying. He said, every day I'm trying. Because every day Satan's bringing something. I said, well, praise God. I thought I was the only one like that. You know? Somebody said, well, you stay home. Well, because you're home, that don't mean he ain't bringing something to you. Send him through the internet. Send him through the telephone. Can't hide from it. Over the television screen. He is the God of the atmosphere, of the ear. He controls everything that's traveling through the ear. Hallelujah. That's why you got to stay prayed up, fasted up, my God, and read up. You got to study the word of God. She said, she screamed out. She said, and when he heard me screaming and crying, he left his garment with me and fled and got out of the house. So everybody now believe. Everybody now, all the other slaves don't believe in that, what she's saying. Because she got evidence. She got his coat in her hand. They don't understand that Joseph is fleeing her because he don't want to sin against his God. Sometimes you got to get away from the job. You got to leave the job because in the job you're going to find yourself doing some things that you ought not be doing. But you got to get out of there. He said, I got to give up this job. Because this job is causing me to do things that I shouldn't do. Joseph said, I've got to get out of here. See, I'm not going to sleep with this woman. I respect my boss. I honor my boss, but I honor the covenant that I have with God. To live a holy life, to be obedient. I was raised up this way. So I can't go and sleep with her. You know the things that we used to do years ago, we can't no longer do them. Because now we have an understanding. You know, when we first came into the kingdom, we were still doing some things that we did in the world, you know. until we get a greater understanding. Evangelist Brown always says, he called, sent me a message yesterday. She told me that the surgery went well. You know, she recovered. The surgery went well on her knees. But she always says something that blessed me. You know, some people drop their notes and, you know, can't figure how powerful it is. But she said something years ago, and never so often she said, when you know better, you do better. And I carry that. That's one thing that touched my heart a lot. Because see, as I continue to study the Word of God and get closer to God, my relationship with Him gets stronger. There's things I can't do. You can't do them. A lot of things that we did 20, 30, 40 years ago, There's 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we will not do now. Because we have a greater understanding. We got a greater understanding of God's expectation for our ministry. And you know, I always said your ministry is your life. And we had a pastor come out, the chief overseer was saying Saturday night, he said, you know, a lot of people talk about preaching. He said, but when you finish preaching, I said, man, you know, I'm glad you said, because I always say that all the time in ministry. When you finish preaching, that's when your ministry begins. So when you walk out, go into your car, or whoever going to come and pick you up, you go into the car, that's your ministry begin then. You're going to all you can eat. You're going to the seafood place, hallelujah, Chinese restaurant, wherever you go, after service, your ministry, believe then, because guess what? People are looking at you. They're looking at how you respond to somebody that responds to you negative. They're looking at how you treat some person that come and ask you to beg alms from you. Hallelujah. You may not have no money in pocket, but you got something you can give to them. But Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And Peter reached out and took the man with his right hand. And the Bible said he began to get power, began to get strength in his ankle bone, the knee bone, the hip bone. All the bones started to get strength. And he started walking and leaping and praising God. We always got something to give somebody. Yes, don't walk, turn away from them. But I ain't got no money in my pocket today. But you got a word in your heart. You can say, but can I pray for you? I really don't have any funds today. But can I pray for you next time I see you? I pray the Lord help me to have some money in my pocket that I can bless you. But can I bless you with the word of God? You have something to give to them. Peter and John could have gone into the temple to our prayer. But they still had something to give to that man. Peter said, cast your eyes upon me. Focus on me. Focus on me. The anointing going to flow. Hallelujah. Listen to what he said. Look. Oh, she got the people. Everybody now in the house. You can imagine. All the other servants right now, just look into the word. And it's not showing you this, but in the word, you can picture all the other servants there. But Potiphar, my master has promoted him to supervisor. I can't believe that he would do that. Try to lie with having to course with the master's wife. You can imagine all this going through their head. They don't know the truth. They're just going by what this lying Jezebel saying. You know, because she acting like a Jezebel, and she's saying this. You gotta, you know, you just can't run off. People come and tell you stuff about the pastor and stuff. No, don't go on with that. Wait till you know the truth for real. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know what they're doing. But all this stuff that they're putting on YouTube and Twitter and Periscope and stuff, man, you got to understand some of that stuff coming from the devil. Devil got the people exposing people. Hallelujah, all this stuff. This is where we got to stay girded up and stay connected to Christ Jesus. Listen. The Bible says, and when I screamed, she said, and cried, he left his garment with me and fled out of the house. And when Joseph's master heard the words of his wife, saying to him, this is the way your servant treated me. His wrath was kindled. Now, Potiphar is hot. He wants to take Joseph's life. You understand, Joseph, he believing now what his wife is saying, because he had his wife longer than he had Joseph as a servant. Who are you going to believe? Joseph or the wife, so Joseph, he said, man, the Bible says his wrath, angry, was kindled. He's hot in his spirit. And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison. and a place where the state prisoners were confined. So he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph. See, even in the prison, I remember when I was locked up back in 2007 for immigration, they were trying to put me out of the country. Because they went back and looked at 25 years from then. And they claimed that I was messing with cocaine and I stopped, got stopped by the police. Didn't spend no time. The case is, I had got probation. All I had was a cocaine pipe with a cord paraphernalia. But the pipe had residue inside of it. And they charged me with that, so I had cocaine. I didn't have no quantity, not an ounce, not a 16, not an 8 ball, nothing. But they put me in jail. Hallelujah. And while I was in jail, God used me in the jail. I was there for 66 days, and God drew 68 people to him. I had an African-American church that we started, teaching and preaching, having Sunday school, all that stuff. And then we had a Latin American church. We had a guy from British Honduras. We went on the computer, make him a license, send him back to British Honduras because he didn't have no money to get a lawyer to try to fight, stay in the country. So he got deported. And I gave him a license right there in the jailhouse. Hallelujah. The warden in the jail was a lesbian. And her girlfriend was in the jail too. One of the officers in the jail. And she told me, she said, Rev, I ain't never had nobody come in here and do the stuff that you're doing here. Because what happened is I took the crackers that they were giving us in the morning with the coffee and tea and stuff, you know, breakfast, and I would save them up. And then we get a little grape juice. And I would save them a grape juice. And we would have Holy Communion. We served two Holy Communions because I was there 2 months, a little over 2 months. And God saved 68 people. Hallelujah, glory to God. So even in the prison, the Bible said that God was with Joseph. Yeah. Hallelujah. And it showed him mercy and loving kindness and gave him favor in the sight of the warden of the prison. They say, God, will give you, God, when you're right, when you live right, I keep telling him, if you love God, and you walk right before him, no good thing will he withhold from you. Hallelujah. People say, I love the Lord, but they don't walk upright. Oh, Jesus is my Savior. He is my soon coming King. And they say everything that sounds eloquent in the Bible. It sounds good. Like they know something. But they're not living. They're not living their life. We have to walk this life out. Hallelujah. We got to become a living Bible. Hallelujah. Because you may be the only Jesus that somebody see in this earth realm. You may be the only Bible that they see in here. You got to live it out. Listen to what he says. And the warden of the prison committed to Joseph, hear all the prisoners who were in the prison. Even in the prison, how Jesus would get it, it's being promoted. He in that dark place like a dungeon, but he's being promoted in the prison. Because why? God's hand is on him. God never removed his hand. Matter of fact, I felt like God's hand was stronger then because God realized that Joseph, God knows that Joseph is being lied about. When folk put their mouth on you and start saying all type of filthy stuff about you that's untrue, supernatural favor come upon your life. People start talking about you and saying negative things about you that's not true. Then they wonder, why are you prospering? I'm seeing all this stuff. They don't realize that God has it on you. You know how much people come in here, apostle, before you even come on this line, back in 2011. And we had people here. Francis Campbell can tell you. We had people here from Georgia, Alabama. And we had people on here. We always love giving people. Always love giving. You know, because that's all character. And one lady was a prophetess. She go to Juanita by the church. She was going through so much. And she calls, she said, we need your help. Doc, I don't have no light. I don't have no water. Water been turned off. Gas been turned off. Can't even buy the, she had a little, one of them little poodle dogs. Can't even buy the dog food. You know,
Blog Talk family, we get together, we bless her, get everything back on. So she's going to Bonita by the church, which is a mega church. Being tithed there, giving an offering here. There. Never give $1 to Blog Talk Radio. But the Lord says, bring your tithes and your offerings in the store, in the storehouse that they've been meeting house. This is why, and people give. I would tell my wife, I said, honey, how much have we got in there from the church? She said, well, we only got $200. I said, we got to give it up. We got to give it find me now. We got to add money to it to have them. You know? But we know in case we stand, the money multiplies. You know, the woman, after she leaves, after she started getting on the foot, she left, blocked off, really didn't come back. And she started saying that I was a warlock and Blog Talk really not going fast. You know, she did the wrong thing, put a mouth on me. I asked him behind this camera, I said, do you ever seen Prophetess so-and-so? He said, I don't ever hear anything about her. I don't know if she's still alive. Because he put a mouth on me in a lie, just like here with Judas. Judas is in the, he's in the dungeon. He's down in the dark place. He's down in the dark place in the prison. And God give him favor. The watering now look, the watering seat, look at Joseph. Said, Joseph got the grace of God upon him. Said, you know what? I got too much prisoners down here to take care of. I'm going to give Joseph some authority. See, because I'm going to delegate authority to Joseph. He's a good man. I can see something in him. I know he's down here in the dark place in the dungeon, but I can see something on Joseph that he can help me. And guess what? He now give Joseph authority. The warden of the prison committed to Joseph care all the prisoners who were in the prison. And whatsoever was done there, he was in charge of it. The prison warden paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, for the Lord was with him and made whatever he did to prosper. The warden can go on, the warden could go and go in his little room and lay down and go to sleep. If he needs to read his book, he can go read his book. Because Joseph had everything in control. Everything that he was touching was prospering. He wasn't getting any problems from the prisoners because the people, all the other prisoners could see that he was a man of God. Let's go over to chapter 20 of Genesis. Chapter 20 of Genesis. We're talking about don't let sin destroy your soul. Part 2. This is from Friday message. Don't let sin destroy your soul. It looks good. It smells good. It may even taste good. But that doesn't mean it's good for you. I remember, a couple of weeks, I seen her sister went over to the store. And we always like them chicken pot pies. Because they're nice. They smell good. Well, I give up on them now. Well, because we've been and got a chicken pot pie. But she and I, because somebody don't eat it. And the moment I ate that stuff, it was like a few minutes after, I was throwing up and going to the Bible, till I had to get a basin. You know, the basin to get you in the hospital, because they cost about $75 in the hospital. All that stuff is 15, 20 times more. You know, everything. They give you a toothbrush. Toothbrush costs $30 in the hospital. I brought all that stuff on me. So I had that basin that to give you. And I had to sit up on the bed. I would lay down in the basin right there. I couldn't get, even though I got a bathroom inside the bedroom, I couldn't get to the bathroom. I was so sick. And God just bring everything out of me. And I praise God. Now Abraham's journey from the tower, journey from their towers, the south country. He left where he was, the Negev, and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur. And he lived temporarily
and Gera. And Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, see, she is my sister. He's telling Abimelech, the king of Gera. He says, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gera, sent and took Sarah into his harem. Now, Sarah was beautiful. Sarah was gorgeous. So Abraham was kind of scared. I'm paraphrasing here, ahead of myself. He was scared that if the king, you know, think that that was his sister, think that was his wife, he might kill her, kill him, excuse me, and he might kill him and take the wife. So he said, look, don't say you're my wife. See, you're my sister, at least. If the king take you, both of us will be saved. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said, behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken as your own. For she is a man's wife. So God will protect what belongs to him. He'll protect what belongs to him, and he'll protect what belongs to God. Sarah's God's daughter. She's Abraham's wife, but she's God's daughter. You understand? And but Abimelech had not come near her. He had no intercourse with her. He didn't even hold her hand, didn't even kiss her. And he said, Lord, will you slay a people who are just and innocent? Woo! See, God told him he's a dead man. And he began to plead with God. Had a conversation. Hallelujah. Did not the man tell me he is my sister? He telling God what Abraham said. And she herself said, he is my brother. In integrity of heart and innocence of hands, I have done this. So I didn't know anything, Lord. I just know she looked good. She attracted. And I thought she would fit right into my errand. Hallelujah. But I haven't touched her. I felt something in my spirit that it wasn't all up and on the up and up what they told me. He said it was my sister, and she said he was my brother. So I didn't touch her because something just didn't feel right, Lord. You can imagine he breaking all this thing, but God knows. And God said to him in the dream, yes, I know you did this in the integrity of your heart. For it was I kept you back and spared you from sinning against me. You hear that? We're talking about don't let sin destroy your soul. Sometimes we're coming to situations that look good, seems good, and we want to go. It's sin, S-I-N. But God will remind us who we are, whose we are, so we don't sin. Some people don't listen. Excuse me. Some people just don't listen. God is speaking loud and clear, and they say, no, I'm not listening to that. I heard that voice, but, man, I want to smoke this drug. I want to drink this alcohol. I want to eat this stuff. I know that it's not good for me. God said don't eat it, don't drink it. But you're still going to do it. You're still going to do it. You know, all this time since I come out the hospital, I stopped drinking soda. I drink one soda. We had one soda left in the house. And you know me, I said, look, we're not going to throw the soda with ginger. I mix it with pineapple. And I drink it. I haven't drink one since then. Why? Because I was drinking so much soda, so much small baby cans. Yeah, they're like 4 ounces or something. 5 ounces or something, 6 ounces. Little small little baby can they give you in the hospital. I drink so much of them ginger beers because they're the best thing I had in the hospital. Everything has tasted bad. I had food that didn't have no salt. I mean, right now I don't use salt. I never use a lot of salt, but now I got to use very low salt. So and then the sodas, what they did to me, they throw my sugar up. Come out here and then the doctor said, well, your sugar's up. You
got to put you on medication. I said, man, I ain't got no diabetes. I don't claim that stuff. So I said, I know where the problem is. I was drinking too much sodas in hospital, so I had to cut them out. We ain't bought no sodas in the house since that, since the last one I drink. And about 2 months ago, I had another one. You have to, it look good. God loves, I love ginger ale. You know, I love ginger ale. You know, but they don't love me. I drink pineapple and cranberry juice. That's what I drink now. Cranberry juice clean your kidneys. So I drink that. But you, some stuff look good. Man, that girl looks so good. She's so fine. Oh, look at that. Man, he's so handsome. Look at his triceps and biceps, abdominal muscles, the deltoids, and his legs and all that stuff, the calf muscles. You know, they got them little tight shorts, don't the men put them on in the summertime. You've been wearing little mini skirts so you can see the whole legs, and they got the tops cut so low you see the breasts jumping out. All that stuff is to entice you. Entice the man, entice the woman. But you got to hear what God is saying. Don't pay that stuff no mind. I told you about the man that all he wanted to get money. And he put his mind so much on money. But when he got all the money, he was at the end of the rope. His life was required of him. He never got to know God as Lord and Savior. He was at the end of the rope. Listen to me. You got to have some integrity about you. If this man, God didn't allow him to go on, he probably would have gone on and slept with Sarah. But God had to keep him back. You hear what God says here? Then God said to him in the dream, yes, I know you did this in the integrity of your heart. For it was I who kept you back and spared you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not give you an occasion to touch her. I did not allow you to touch her. Do you hear that? Sometimes we wonder why we're not doing what we don't want to do. But it's God. God who is protecting our soul, who will not allow us to do what we want to do to save us from going to hell. So now restore to the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. Listen to that. Do you know you got the power to pray for people and give them life instead of death? He said that Abraham is a prophet, and he will pray for Abimelech, and he will live. But if you do not restore her to him, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are you. Listen, sin will not only destroy you and I, but will destroy all who is connected to us. I want you to know that. That's why it's important for us to let the people that are around us know, not only us repenting and praying for them, but let them know that they got to repent and they got to turn from sin too. Because this sin is going on to the third and fourth generation. You understand? We got to cut that thing in the neck. He says, so Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told them all these things. And the men were exceedingly filled with reverence and fear. Hallelujah. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? And how have I offended you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me what ought not to be done to anyone. And Abimelech said to Abraham, what did you see in us that justify you in doing such a thing as this? Abraham wanted to live. And that was his way out. Abraham said, because I taught surely, there is no reverence or fear of God at all in this place, and they will slay me because of my wife. But truly, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not of my mother. And she became my wife. When God caused me to wander from my father's house, I said to her, this kindness you can show me. At every place we stop, say of me, he is my brother. And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and male and female slaves and gave them to Abraham and restored to him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before you. Dwell wherever it pleases you. See, supernatural. You see, God did not allow sin to take place. Sin is knocking at the door. It's always knocking at the door. This is the reason why we, all of us, including myself, I'm not exempt, we need the favor of God beyond our lives. We need the leading of God, the Holy Spirit, in everything, everywhere. Anytime that we drop our guard, we are subject to be defeated, to be knocked out. Anytime. Hallelujah. Listen to what the man Abimelech did, the king do. Now he's telling Abraham, any place in my land, I own all of this. You look across, as far as you can see, belongs to me. You can set up your tents anywhere you want. You can build a house if you want. Whatever you want to do, this is my land. All this is my kingdom. You can dwell anywhere. This is what God would do for you. If you live it right, God will give supernatural favor. The Bible says your gifts will make room for you. This is what he says. And see, we have to be more concerned about God than we're concerned about ourselves. Joseph could have slept with Pharaoh, with Potiphar's wife. But eventually it would have come out. He made it run smooth for a little bit of time. But it cannot hide forever. We always hear the paper, old folks just says, morning will run till light catch up to it. You ever hear the old people just say that, son? Morning will run till night catch up to it. You can sin and sin and sin, but eventually it will be exposed. You can hide and buy land. My mama should drop all these nuggets on me. The woman, may she rest in peace. And she would say, you can hide and buy land. But you can't hide and work it. And you can't hide and plow it. If you're going to plow it, guess what? Everybody going to see you there with a tractor. If you don't have a tractor, you got an oxen or you got a cow pulling the plow, guess what? You got to walk behind the oxen or the plow or the cow. People going to see you. Hallelujah. So if you go, if you sit in, eventually going to come. You say, look, you're sleeping with this woman. And say, look, are you sleeping with this man? Whatever. And you say you're using protection. And the devil is so smart, the devil put a hole in that protection that you're using. They got some stuff that they put inside the banana. I can't remember the name of it. And, you know, like a balloon they put in there. And it catches all the sperm. Well, sometimes it's the wrong thing. Diaphragm. Thank you, Holy Spirit. They call it a diaphragm. They put it inside the banana. And it catches the sperm. But sometimes they're fooling around with that thing and they got a little hole in it. They don't know it got a little hole. Even with the Durex you put on your penis. And sometimes it gets a hole in it. You don't know it got a little hole. And you say, well, I'm cheating. You don't think you're cheating. You say, well, I'm having a good time with this girl. I'm having a good time with this man. You don't realize you're cheating on your husband. You're cheating on God. And next thing you know, she's calling you up. Tell you that she's pregnant for you. And you say, how can you be pregnant for me? I was wearing this. I was wearing a, you know, I had protection. You say, I don't know what happened, but I'm pregnant. Ain't nobody else I slept with besides you. You my man. Now you aren't worried now because this thing is coming to light. Your wife's going to got to know. She going to know. As much as you don't want to say nothing, they're not going to say anything. That woman going to tell somebody, here's Evander, she just come on. I'm talking about don't let sin destroy your soul. Hallelujah. And I got to go back there. Joseph was willing to run out and leave his cloak in the woman's hand. You got to be willing. Abraham was willing to lie and call Sarah his sister. She was willing to lie and call Abraham her brother. Because why? They were going through a lot of
A lot of problems. Famine in the land. Stuff going on. And they're coming to this kingdom that God has already prepared for them to be taken care of. They don't know all that, though. But God is sitting high and looking low. You understand? And he's prepared that stuff for us. We're trying to figure out how to work on stuff instead of trusting God to work on stuff for us. And then we find ourselves doing stuff that we shouldn't be doing. Then the king, after God gave the king a dream, the king have gone to a place now because God told him, look, if you touch that woman, you're going to die. If you touch her, you're not going to see tomorrow. Tomorrow's sun will be darkness to you. You're not going to see tomorrow's sun. You hear what I'm telling you? He said, not only are you going to die, but everything connected to you. All your other slaves, all your other women that you got in your concubines and wives and stuff, they're going to all die. Can you imagine seeing Abimelech? He's a king, owning a lot of land. He has a lot of business. You can see his two knees knocking. Knocking because he's a big king. You know, everybody know Abimelech. But you also know that Abraham belongs to God. He's God's prophet. God told him that. Hallelujah. Abimelech said, listen, he said, Abimelech took sheep and oxen and male and female slaves and gave to Abraham and restored to him Sarah, his wife. Abimelech says, behold, my land is before you. Look and see my land. Dwell wherever it pleases you. Anywhere upon my land you can go. You God prophet, man. I'm not going to touch your wife. Here's your wife back that I taught with your sister. But God warned me. See, you can, all this land, you can see. And to Sarah he said, behold, I have given this brother of yours 1,000 pieces of silver. See, it is to compensate you for all that has occurred and to vindicate your honor before all who are with you. Before all men, you are declared and compensated. Look, look. He telling the people, no, I have not done anything to this woman. I'm not touched her, but I'm going to bless her because she belongs to God, and she belongs to God's servant. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech. Remember God told Abimelech that Abraham is a prophet and that Abraham would pray for him. Give him his wife. He gave his wife. Abraham will pray for you. This is God talking. So everything is manifesting. Everything that God said will come to pass. Not one word that comes out of God's mouth will fall to the ground. Not one God. I was in the church on Saturday night, and the chief apostle was there, and he started while I'm sitting down. But every time he's calling me, talking about my character and my scars and so on. And the Lord told me this young lady, never seen her before. And the Lord says, the apostle from South Carolina, he's preaching. He came in here to preach for this apostle. And so the Lord told me this young lady, she's going to be promoted. And I would say, apostle, I need to share words. You know, I would say that because that's the way you do things. But I never opened my mouth. So he's praying for all the people in the sanctuary. So I said to the Lord, I said, if she going to get promoted, I'm not led to call her out. Because apostle, this is time to minister. You call out. Well, I'm standing behind the other apostle, and all of a sudden he called the young lady, said, and he told her that she's going to be promoted. And I started screaming. I can't believe. I believe because I know God. He always guarantees his word. You know, confirms his word. So I was excited. Then I told her. She started crying. I said, you know, I want to tell you that you was going to be promoted, but
Apostle called it up because God confirmed his word. He would stop crying. Abraham prayed for Abimelech and his wife and his female slave and their bore children. The Lord had closed fast the womb of all in Abimelech's household because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. God is so awesome. If you walk up right before him, he will remove fear from your house. He would release blessings in your house. Go to Genesis chapter 4, and then we'll come back to chapter 20. I just want to give you a little bit of this stuff here because, you know, I told you that we're going to stay over here for a little bit because God is dealing with this thing of sin. I told him Sunday, Saturday night, you know, a lot of times you hear too much preachers preaching about prosperity. Too many of them are watering down God's word and giving you Kool-Aid and giving you lemonade. They got a whole bunch of lemons and a whole bunch of sugar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they give you that stuff because it tastes sweet. So you can shout up, preach on. But if the preacher would preach about sin, you want to get up and walk out on the preacher. You can't stand. You can't even sit on your seat. You're squirming all the time. And this, we got to get back to this thing, preaching against sin, S-I-N. You ain't got to call out people then. Preach against sin, S-I-N, all type of sin it covers. The Bible said a soul that sinneth shall die. And God talk. I like what God said. He said, all souls are mine. That's what he said, all, even the sin of man. He said, but the soul that sinneth shall die. I look at that. One preacher said, man, I remember when I used to be a bad sinner. But when I find God, I said, no, stop right there. I told him, I said, stop right there, my brother, because God never would lost. Too many preachers saying, well, they find God. No, you don't find God. God found you in your sinful state. He caught me in the crack house. I couldn't believe it. In the crack house, he got me. And tell me I wasn't going to get high anymore. God said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. That we did. And all of us were lost. Some of us still dipping and dabbing back in the dark. Slipping and dipping. Slipping and sliding. Into the dark. Come back in the light. Back in the dark. Back in the light. Can't stand the light because as soon as you get in the light kind of disturbs the darkness that's inside of you. Sometimes the pastor called up some stuff. You said, but the pastor preaching about me. No, he's not preaching about you. You're just saying what God says. Listen. Here in chapter 4 of Genesis, and we're talking about, don't let sin destroy your soul. And Adam knew Eve as his wife, verse 1, Amplified. And she became pregnant and bore Cain, and she said, I have gotten and gained a man with the help of the Lord. And next she gave birth to his brother, Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and of the fat portions. And the Lord had respect and regard for Abel and for his offering. Hebrews 11 and 4 got it over there. But for Cain, his offering, he had no respect or regard. So Cain was exceedingly angry and indignant, and he looked sad and depressed. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why do you look sad and depressed and dejected? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin crouches at your door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. Sin has a desire. You know that? Sin has a desire because sin wants your soul and my soul. It doesn't matter how long you've been married, sin still wants you. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the church and you call him your Lord, your Savior, your King. Sin still wants you. Remember, he told you in Matthew that when he leaves a house,
He goes about looking for a dry place to find rest. If he doesn't find rest, he comes back with seven other demons. Now it's worse, because now you're not dealing with one demon, he's dealing with eight. You understand? He never going to stop. You say, well, why is the preacher getting involved? Because the preacher get comfortable. The preacher get comfortable and think that he got it all together. She got it all together. She's all that, the bag of chips and the Pepsi-Cola. But Satan knows all our desires. Listen to me. He knows all your past desires, not the future. But he knows your past desires. And this is what he used against you and I. Don't run around, push your chest up like you got it together. Hallelujah. And Cain said to his brother, let us go out to the field. Verse 8. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? It's very important that we get this, because a lot of time we get so holy and we get so pious that we forget that we are our brother's keeper. We forget that. We don't have no respect. We don't have no integrity. No, we don't have no love for our brothers. But we say we love the Lord so much. Oh, how I love Jesus. And how we sing it with a melodious voice. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. We sing all the stuff that sounds eloquent, sound holy, but we don't have no love for our brother or sister. Somebody say something that you don't like, you hate them. You can't fellowship with them anymore.
That's right.
But you're going to heaven, though. You say you're going to heaven. Don't fool yourself. Did he tell Abimelech, he said, if you sleep with that woman, you shall surely die. Hey, your brother is like murder. That's what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, he says, hating your brother is like murder. Do you hear that? This is what God says. But we said we're going to heaven. I tell you, Prophet, I'm going to heaven, but I don't like Maggie. I can't stand Maggie. I can't stand Judas. You know, you call all these people names, but you're going to heaven. There ain't going to be no preaching in heaven. All that's going to be in heaven is worship. So we got to learn how to worship together, how to pray together, how to fast together. Preaching is for the church. Worship is for God. And we worship together in love, in spirit and in truth. He's looking for true worshipers. We can't worship because we ain't got no truth in us. Let's go to another chapter in Genesis. Let's go to Genesis chapter 20. Oh, my God. I just want to give you a little bit of this stuff here. This is good. Listen, I hear Evangelist Brown is on the line. Her surgery went well. God is doing a great work in her.
No. Here in chapter 20, hallelujah. Did we give you chapter 20 earlier?
No. Jesus, help us here. All right, let's go to chapter 42. Chapter 42. I think I gave you 20. Yeah. Let's go to chapter 42. Hallelujah. That's a good chapter, though. Let's go to chapter 42. Glory to God. Genesis. I know a lot of people don't like the Old Testament, but I love the Old Testament because it just takes you back to the foundation. You know, everybody's running off. They say, oh, we're under grace. We're under grace now. We're under grace. We're not under the law. Well, you're so much under grace. Why don't you live grace? We're under grace, but we don't have no grace. Hallelujah. We don't extend grace to nobody. We say, I'm under grace. But somebody not acting right, not talking right, not treating you right, you can't extend no grace to them. But you want grace. You want mercy from God. Unmerited favor you want from God. God, to give me favor. Have some grace, Lord. Give me a little more time, Lord. No grace is. Somebody give you a little extra time when you know you should have been done and complete the way you act now, right now. You're not there yet. You should have been there. But you say, well, look, I'm not finished yet. Can I have a little grace? Can I have a little bit more of that grace?
But that person don't have it together. You can't give them the grace. But you say you're on the grace. You're not on the law. We need to go back and look at the law so that some things inside of us can be exposed. Hallelujah. Share what you shouldn't do. You see what Joseph did? He loosed his coat. Understanding that if he do this thing, he said, look, how can I do this? He didn't even talk in the boat. Potiphar. He said, okay, how can I do this thing against my God? How can I not extend grace to you when I'm expecting God to extend grace to me? How can I not extend mercy to you when I expect God to extend mercy to me? I'm not all that in a bag of tits and a pescola. I have not arrived. So I got to expect, I got to release, I got to be willing to forgive you because I'm asking God to forgive me because I mess up so many times. I'm asking God to forgive me. I mess up so many times. So I got to forgive you. That's what Jesus said. Hey, you don't forgive your brother. How do you expect your father in heaven to forgive you? Man, this is what he said. This is so beautiful. Now, when Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, verse 1, he said to his sons, where do you look at one another? They were looking at each other because they had no food. There was no food in Canaan. The famine in the land. Joseph already had a dream about 7 days, 7 years of famine and 7 years of plenty. And Joseph says, why are you looking so down? There's food in Egypt. He didn't know Joseph was in Egypt. He said, but there's food in Egypt. It's why he said, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Get down there and buy grain for us that we may live and not die. We got money. Do you understand? We got money. All you got to do is go down to Egypt. We got some donkeys. We got some mules. Go on down. Take your bags and go down to Egypt and get some food. So we could eat and not die. So 10 of Joseph's brothers went to buy grain in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's full brother, Jacob, did not send with his brothers. For he said, lest perhaps some harm or injury should befall him. Now, Benjamin and Joseph had the same mother and the same father. But the other brothers were half-brothers. They were only Joseph's brother by Jacob. They didn't have the same mother. And Joseph loved Benjamin, and Benjamin loved Joseph. He's the one that cried out and said, don't kill him. Don't kill him. Let's put him in the pit instead of killing him. You know? So Jacob had this love for Benjamin, the same kind of love he had for Joseph. You know, because he had these two kids in his old age, Joseph and Benjamin in his old age. So the sons of Israel, you know, Jacob's name was changed to Israel, came to buy grain among those who came. For there was hunger and general lack of food in the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was the governor over the land, and he was who sold to all the people of the land. Joseph's half-brothers came and bowed themselves down before him with their faces to the ground. Joseph saw his brethren, and he recognized them, but he entreated them as if he were a stranger to them and spoke roughly to them. See, they didn't know who he was. He knew who they were. Because, you know, Joseph is dressed up in palace apparel. He not got that stuff like they were in the desert. He dressed up as one of Pharaoh's servants now, you understand? Pharaoh's supervisors. He the one that sell to all the other people that come in to Egypt to buy food. Joseph was in charge of that. That's how powerful that he became, because God has given favor to him. Hallelujah. What they talked for, was trying to do for bad, God turned around for good. He put Joseph in a upper class position. Now the Bible said that Joseph talked to them like there was nobody, because they don't know that that's their brother. You can imagine how old he changed in the years that he was in Egypt. And where do you come from? Joseph asked them. They replied, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph remembered the dreams he had dreamed about them and said to them, you are spies, and with unfriendly purpose you have come to observe secretly the nakedness of the land. But they said to him, no, my lord, but your servants have come only to buy food. We are all one man's son. We are true men. Your servants are not spies. And he said to them, no, but you have come to see the nakedness of the land. But they said, your servants are 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. He knows all this. The youngest is today with our father, and one is not. They're talking about him now. See, one is not talking about Joseph. Benjamin's with the father, but the one that is not is Joseph. One is not here with us. We don't know what become of him. And Joseph said to them, it is as I said to you, you are spies. You shall be proved by this test. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not go away from here unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of you and let him bring your brother David. Joseph wants to see his brother Benjamin. That's the whole thing. And you will be kept in prison that your words may be proved whether there is any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, you certainly are spies. Then he put all in custody for 3 days. I tell you, I can see Joseph. It hurt Joseph to put them in custody, but he playing with them. See, God has promoted Joseph, just like he's promoting us. And a lot of time we're not praising him, we're not glorifying for where he's brought us from. All we're complaining, we're talking to God, but what we don't have, you know, we complaining. Man, I told him in the church on Sunday. I said, look. You know, I'm expecting a lot of money, but that's not my main objective. I want to win more souls for the kingdom. I want to get up here and hear the Lord says, check mark next to your name, David. Check mark next to your name for this soul. Check mark next to your name for this soul. I want to hear the Lord says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I want him to say, come into my joy. Come into my peace. Hallelujah. Because all the stuff that people are killing one another down here and doing all the nastiness they're doing to get the big money, they're not going to take none of that stuff with them. They don't want to give to the poor. They don't want to give to the widows or the fatherless or the orphans. They want to keep everything for themselves. No, you're not going to take anything with you. Look on the internet and see Serena Jakes saying, oh, that T.D. Jakes is not fit to run the church anymore. Look on your internet and you'll see. She's talking to her husband. She said he's not fit to run the church anymore. No, she wants a divorce. And she wants half of all that they have. They own a lot of property. They own townhouses, single family homes, apartment buildings. They own a lot. They use the church money to buy all that bills, all them buildings. And see, if you don't live right, because the devil is smart. I keep telling you all, you think I'm playing. The devil's smart, and devil would entice you to focus on riches, on the things of the world, and you forget that your assignment is to win souls. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. Hallelujah. The moment that you take your eyes off the assignment and you start focusing about gold and silver and diamonds, you're going to lose, because the devil will give you. Look at all these entertainers are dying young. They got rich and dying young. Because, see, they went and sell their souls to the devil. And now the devil said, no, I need your soul now. They can't send the devil, you can't get the soul. Because why they have not repented and given their life to Christ? Because that's the only thing that can save the devil from getting your soul. When you sell your soul to the devil, you got not going to repent. You got to repent and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. But they don't want to do that. So they end up dying. Young woman here just died. She died a couple of days ago. She was one of the American Idols, Mandisa. Good, beautiful African-American woman. Oh, she got a multi-million-dollar home. Fancy cars. I mean, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 cars. She got all these nice things. But guess what? She's singing gospel. Guess what she just did just a few days ago? She committed suicide. How can you love the Lord and still commit suicide? Something is wrong with that picture. I can't see it. Because he is the Savior of your soul. I can't go and take up a gun and go kill somebody. Because it's not in me. And I sure enough can't kill myself. I got to become completely crazy. And I know I can't. It's impossible because God has already changed my mind. He has already renewed my mind. He gave me the right spirit. My heart is clean. I'm not perfect, but my heart is clean. I tell you the truth. Let me give you a little bit more. This is I got to go to here. Listen, I want to do some work on my truck. I don't know what the temperature is. I got to change a motor on the running board. But listen. Joseph is so powerful. Because he loved the Lord. This is what God wants. We got to give him all our love, not part of our love. Hallelujah. Prophetess Kirsten, he says on Saturday, not just 99 and a half wouldn't do. Got to have 100. Verse some Pickett, the soul singer, used to say that. 99 and a half wouldn't do. Got to have 100. You know, your wife, your husband don't want no half. No 99 and a half. If your husband don't want, he don't even want 99 and three quarters. He want you to love him. She want you to love him 100%. Want all of your love. You can't even look at another woman while you're walking with your wife. You can't look at another man while you walk with your husband. They can't touch you, but they get angry when you get, you look at another man, another woman. But you want to look at everything as for God. You forget that he has looking at all these things that make him idle. You're looking at him. The car, the house, the swimming pool, the dog, the cat, the parakeet, all that stuff you make idols. You focus on those things that you can't carry none of that stuff with you when you leave this earth. You focus on the motor, you focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph said to them on the third day, do this and live. I reverence and fear God. If you are true men, let one of your brothers be bound in your prison, but the rest of you go and carry grain for those weakened with hunger in your household. But bring your youngest brother to me, so your words will be verified, and you shall live. And they did so. And they said one to another, we are truly guilty about our brother, for we saw the distress and anguish of his soul when he begged us to let him go. And we would not hear. So this distress and difficulty has come upon us. Now they're thinking that all this stuff is happening to them because of what they did to Joseph. They don't know Joseph is right there standing. You understand? All this stuff is, this conviction is coming back to their hearts. You live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. It's coming back to them. See? He says, but they did not know that Joseph understood them. He didn't let them hear his Jewish accent. He turned away from them and wept. Then he returned to them and talked with them and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Then privately Joseph commanded that their sack be filled with grain, every man's money be restored to his sack, and provisions be given to them for the journey. And this was done for them. Listen. This is what Joseph said to them. When they come back and got all, they got all the stuff together. We're going down through this here, but we're going to stop it. Joseph told them that what you all took for bad, turned around for his good. God put Joseph in the position that he would be the one that would save Egypt, Israel. He would save not only Israel, but he would save his family. God is saying to us today, times are coming that are going to get real rough. It's going to get real bad. And a lot of people that think they got stuff holding on to, you're not going to be able to hold on to it. You can't hold on to it. The only thing you got to hold on to is your salvation, and you got to work it out. You got to work it out. Because it's even the salvation, I just saw last night, they said that Christians are being attacked all over the world. Some of them are being burned alive. They're being burned alive. Put the gospel aside, they're being burned alive. And we today in America, we have a lot of liberty, freedom, and we take the gospel for granted. You hear what I'm saying? We take it for granted. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify your name. God, we honor you. Lord, we ask that you bless the airwaves as your word is going to the north, the south, the east, and the west. Lord, it's doing exactly what you said it would do. It's touching hearts of men and women all over the world. Lord, there's pastors that are calling me from different countries. They're sending me text messages, and they're seeing how they're being blessed by the Blog Talk ministry. Lord, we pray, Father God, that you draw them to you, because you said no one can come except you draw them. Lord, those that are operating under the Kundalini spirit, those that are operating under the Marine spirit, oh God. Lord, some of them have the spirit of Jezebel. Lord, I ask you, some have that Ahab spirit. We ask, Father God, that you cleanse them, convict them, bring them low before you can raise them up, before you raise them up. But expose the sin that's in their hearts, oh God, that they might say, Lord, I want to be clean. I want to be whole. I want to be refreshed in your word and refreshed in your spirit, Lord. I pray today, Lord God, for everyone that's sick in their body, Lord, that you heal today, Lord, that you restore today, Lord God, that you bring us together, oh God, as one, that we begin, oh God, to help one another, Lord God, that we be focused on what you have called us to do, Lord God, that we might be the sons and the daughters of the Most High God. Father, let us not lift up our head, lift up our hands, and act like we are so big and mighty, Lord God. But let us focus on you, Lord. Help us to focus on you, on the things of the kingdom, oh God. And Father, we know that we'll be able to bless those that need to be blessed. Father, we just thank you today. We pray, Father God, for everyone that don't know Jesus today. You know, you don't know him. Take the opportunity to just invite Jesus in your life. Hallelujah. Invite him in your life. You know, I tell you, a couple months ago, I would have feel like if I was going from this world. But I knew I wasn't going because God told me I wasn't going. But I've been through so much in the last few months. And just to see how God is strengthening my body, you can't even imagine. You know, you can't even imagine what I've been through. You know, every time I say sometimes my heart, I just weep. I lay in the bed and I just weep, Minister Jones. I just lay in the bed and weep. Because I would tell him on Sunday church, they say, I know how awesome my God is. And the chief apostle said, man, you bear the scars. You bear the scars of a godly man. You can talk. And I said, this is not even half the story. You know, because I picked up two viruses in the hospital. You all on the line heard me talk that before. I picked up two viruses while I was in the hospital. Because the devil see that he couldn't kill me, because even when my heart... when my heart went out two times, God brought me back. So he said, well, look, you know what? We're going to have to try a different way. That old devil, he said, we got to try a different way to take him out. And I picked up two viruses in the hospital. You know, even the hospital looked clean. The hospital looked clean, but it's dirty. And those viruses, I was supposed to die in 7 days. The doctor said, if you don't get this virus out of your body in 7 days, this particular virus will take you out. Every 3 seconds or so, I had to go to the bathroom. And all was coming out of my body was something like It was like a phone, a silver phone, you know. It was like, it was just like so such silver. And they couldn't understand what it was, because all they wanted to do was see me passing some defecation. They wanted to see me making some stool. I wasn't making no stool, because this virus was coming through my rectum. Took 7 days. For 6 days, it was out of my body. You hear me? 6 days. I had two of them viruses. The doctor says most people, when they get that virus, they don't live. If they don't get it rid of for 7 days, they take them out. I'm praising God all the time. And you can't tell me don't praise him. Because the more I think about all that he's doing for me, you hear what I'm saying? Doing, because he's still doing stuff for me. Man, my faith is going up. It's growing up. It's going up. It's going up. Because I'm thanking him and praising him, because only he could do what he has done for me. Man, praise God. Praise God. Don't, oh, God, you know, we sing that song. People say that song, then they go on and just bite their tongue. You can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. You don't see that song? They sing that song. You can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. But as soon as they get an infirmity or get attack in the body, they doubt him. Man, you got to speak that faith. He said, death and life is in the power of the tongue. They that love it can eat the fruit thereof. Man, I don't care what it is that he bring on me. And I know that God don't put nothing on you. Because he said, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as you're so prosper. So sickness don't come from heaven. It come from the devil. You know, sometimes we step out the realm of holiness and we step into that dark space, you know, speaking negative stuff and doing negative stuff, and it gives the devil a foothold to come on in. We open a window, a door, a crack or something to allow the devil come in and put sickness on you, because, you know, that's what it comes to. If you walk in right before God, the devil can't touch you. He can't touch you. But the moment you start fussing and complaining and calling people out their names, all that belongs to the devil. That's a window. That's a crack in the house that you open for the devil to come in. That's crooked. Soon you see that you're not talking right, ask the Lord to forgive you. If you say something not right, ask the Lord to forgive you. Don't give the devil nothing, because the devil going to grow on that. He going to grow on that stuff that's negative. Father, I ask today for everyone that don't know you, don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I pray today that everyone that don't know him will repent. And even those that know him and know that they're not living that righteous life, that holy life, that they will repent and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Lord, I pray, God, that the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, man believeth on the righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made on the salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It said that God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and 8 that God commended his love towards us, that while we were yet sinning, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Romans 3 and 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, A-double-L, you and I, we all have fallen short of. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6 and 23. It's so important that you give your life completely to me. Peter says that let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I love that verse. You know, I love that verse because the moment that you receive Jesus and get baptized, he gives you a gift. The gift of the Holy Ghost is you can't get it. You can't purchase it. Nobody is going to give it to you. Only he can give it to you. And he give it to you so that you will have the help that you need to make it in this dying world. He give you the help that you need. The Holy Ghost is the help. And God give it to us. Only Christians have that. You know that? And when you get it, you got to utilize it. You know, you got to activate it in your life. Use the Holy Ghost. I can't do some stuff. I tell you, when I go stuffing, doing stuff. Like, I got to go work on my truck. I got to put a motor on my truck because the running board is stuck, and I bought a new motor. I got to put that motor in. And then maybe next week I'm going to order to front shocks. They want to charge me $2,000, but I'm not going to do that. They want to charge me $1,800 for the shocks, and then plus he going to charge me another $1,000 to put them on. So I said, no, I put them on myself. I put the back ones on, the motor on, all that stuff in the back. I put the sensors on, the wheel sensors, all that stuff I put on. I do the front myself, you know, because God has gifted me with that talent. I learned mechanics when I was back in the Caribbean, and I still can do a lot of stuff, you know. So those people out there that don't know Jesus, and we hear the scriptures that we have given you, I have quoted those scriptures out of my heart. And if you hear the scriptures and you believe what you have heard the scriptures saying, and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to repent. Repenting just means that you turn away from the life that you've been living, the things that you've been, the way you've been talking, the things you've been doing, all that stuff you start doing. You're not going to do all at one time, but you start doing it. See, you got to make a start. You know, every time that you finish something, he going to bring up something else inside your spirit and let you see you got to work on this. I've been doing this stuff for 10 years now, and God says, show me stuff I got to work on, telling me that I'm not complete yet. I don't have everything finished yet. So every so often he said, well, look, son, you got to work on this. You got to work on that. I remember when he told me that I had to work on my attitudes, because everything was seen in my face. When I get upset, it all shows in my face. I may not speak it out, but you can see, I know I mess with David. I know I mess him up. I know that person mess him up because it's all in his face. But God had to tell me I got to work on my attitude. And even if I'm feeling down, I still got to smile. I got to let the light come out, you know, so people want to know who he is. You walk around your face like you bite a sour lemon. Ain't nobody want to come to know that God you're talking about. You preaching, but you have no joy in your countenance. You whine about what your husband says, what your wife says, what the neighbor says, all that stuff you bring into the house of the Lord. Have no joy. You wonder, why is he preaching? Why is he preaching? He looks so sad. You know? But we thank God. If you don't know him yesterday, take a minute to ask God to forgive your sins. And then denounce Satan. Denounce means that you're telling Satan it's time for you to go. You're evicting him from your life. Tell Satan he got to go. Satan, it's your time to go, and don't come back. Don't come back, because I'm cleaning the house. And then I'm going to replace the furniture in the house. Everything going to be replaced. So when you come back, you won't have no place. Jesus will be sitting in the new chairs. He'll be sitting in the room. So denounce Satan and all his agents. If even the world system, because we get so caught up in, as soon as you get some, they send you some meds. And you're busy trying to get a different phone, busy trying to get another television. Television working fine, but you want a new television. Phone working fine, but you want a new phone. You got one ring, you want another ring. You got one chain, you want another chain. You got a bracelet, you want an ankle breaker. All this kind of stuff. All this stuff is idealistic. And you get yourself focusing on them things instead of focusing on want to be closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's getting close. It's getting very close. Russia's talking nuclear weapons. Iran is talking nuclear weapons. Syria's talking nuclear weapons. Turkey's talking nuclear weapons. Israel is talking nuclear weapons and laser. So all this stuff is going. You think because we're all the way down here, if they shoot off something up there, it's going to be in the atmosphere. All during the Caribbean, people are going to die. And we better live our life like we're going to die tomorrow. Live your life that way, like you're going to die tomorrow. So live your life for God. I'm not saying go and live your life and run to the nightclub and go to the bar and that kind of stuff. Live your life that if it happens, he show up right away. you'll go back with him. I ask God to help me to get closer to him, because I'm not where I want to be in him yet. I want to get closer. Inside of me is burning for him. If you don't know him today, I want you to say this prayer with me. To Lord Jesus, I heard the scriptures and I'm convicted. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I acknowledge my sin right now, Lord. There's too many for me to number, but you see them all. And I come today with a heart of forgiveness, asking you to forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness, Lord Jesus. Wash me in your blood and make me whole. If you said that prayer and you believe it, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now, our recommendation is that you get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. Or you can start at the book of Genesis. We were in Genesis a lot today. So you want to get a clear understanding of this Jesus Christ that we teach and preach about. The apostle doctrine is the same doctrine that Jesus had. They got the doctrine from Jesus. So you want to know that doctrine, because that doctrine gives you the idea how you're supposed to live. There's no if or buts about it. You can't get around it. You can't go on it. You can't go over it. You got to go with it. And then I want you to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, and tell them you received the gift of salvation and you want to be baptized. But before you get baptized, call up your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies, because you want to have witnesses of this greatest time. Some people say that they heard that you received the gift of salvation, but they're not sure. But when you're going down the water, you make an open declaration that you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But the preacher going to ask you that. If he didn't pray with you, he's going to ask you, did you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you repented of your sin? He's going to ask you these questions. But mostly if somebody's going to baptize you, they're going to have you come and go to baptismal class so they can explain the reason why you're getting baptized. And when you get baptized, you're going down that water. We call it the liquid grave. Maybe at the lake, maybe at the river, and maybe at the ocean, maybe at the pool in the altar, maybe at the YMCA. But wherever you go down the water, we call it the liquid grave. And you're not being sprinkled. Ain't nobody pouring no water on your head. You're going to be submerged in the pool, in the river, in the water. And Jesus is going down there with you. Hallelujah. And coming back up with you. When you come up, you're all excited and you're finished being running and jumping and shouting. Find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved. Okay, get yourself involved in ministry, because that's what it's going to take. But you give me your life completely, Jesus. God bless you, and God continue to watch over you and all that you do. And God keep you safe. Continue to live and grow in the things of the Lord. I love you guys so much. I shared a lot today, and I hope you all got some stuff. The line is now open for anyone that wants to come on in and put in your 2 cents. Like I did, I give you 2 pennies. You can give me a couple of cents. Line is open.
Apostle Kavanaugh.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Amen, amen. I thank God today. I had surgery last week, and I've been coming on kind of late because medicine I've been taking, you know, got me kind of dizzy. But I was just listening at you talking, and I thank God, you know, everything was successful in my surgery, what I had. But next time I sang, I just don't kind of woozy a little bit. But I was thinking about, you know, well, and everybody been to the doctor, but me, I'm kind of outspoken. You know, maybe sometimes that get me in trouble, but, you know, when something don't sound right to me, you know, it just don't sound right. But I've heard it so many times before. When I was getting prepped for my surgery, the nurses come in and they said, I wasn't worried about nothing because I went in trusting God. I had prayed about it. The young lady said, Mr. Walker, you don't have to worry about nothing. You're in good hands. We got you in our hands. And the doctor so-and-so, he's good, you know, which I know, bro. So I said, well, you're going to make me start worrying now. So she said, why? I said, if you had said we was in the hands of God, I'd have felt a whole lot better. I said, I have trust in God for the doctor to do the right thing. I said, but don't say I'm in good hands, in y'all hands. I said, I understand what you mean, but I said, I'm just going to put all this in the hand of God. But I wanted to read a scripture right quick before I go to sleep here, Pastor Cavanaugh. Isaiah 31:1. Woe to the rebellious children, said the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin.
Jesus.
And when you was going through today, I read a lot of, I have a lot I read about in Isaiah because I like to read Isaiah. But that came in my spirit when you was talking about, you know, this and that. And I realized that a lot of times, you know, you was talking about married couples or this and that, but a lot of times when you're married and the man or woman go outside the marriage, they commit adultery. Then sometimes when one of the spouse find out that the other one did something, they get hurt so bad. Then sometimes they kill the other spouse. So in other words, if adultery is a sin, then they come and do murder, which is another sin.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times, it's the best thing to do. I had a friend, and this is a true story. A young prophet, Prophet Nevins. I don't know if Prophet Nevins still living, but when I was younger, I used to hate to go around that man. Because that man will look at you, and I never will forget Prophet Cattle. When I first started, I started singing with a quartet when I was like 12 years old. And I was like 16 or 17 when I got on the contract. And I never will forget singing at his church. Well, before I sung at his church, when I walked in with the group, he looked at me, and the service had started, and I'm saying to myself, is he looking at me or he looking at somebody? So he walked up to me and said, look here, you ain't ready to sing. He said, you can't sing here. And we left, not realizing at that time I was doing some of everything. And when I finally went back there about 10 years later, and we went there to sing, and he was still there. And he looked at me again. He said, you all right now. You good to go. You can come on in and sing. So a lot of times, you have to be careful, because just because you sinning, and God in heaven and he here below looking, and you're not worried about God, but it's other people that's upright,
right.
See what you're doing.
That's right.
So, I thought about the time when a young guy I used to work with. I worked at a chemical plant. He was telling me, man, my wife, I believe she's messing around. So he knew that I sang, and I knew different prophets and different acts. And he asked me about going to see her. So I took him to see Prophet Nevins. He took his wife with him. This is a true story. So Prophet Nevins told us to bring, come by on Wednesday on Bible class. So I went in there, and you know, he had a group of peoples in the church. But when we walked in, now I knew his wife. She always dressed real neat and nice and everything. You know, she never was out. You know, everything was just right. Hair and everything. But that particular night, she didn't look right. You know, her hair wasn't combed and different, her dress was wrinkled. They had separated. So when we went back there, I was talking to Prophet Nevins. So Prophet Nevins come out. He looked at him, at the woman and my friend. He looked at her. He said, look here. He said, you can get delivered tonight if you want to. She was saying, oh, yes, pal. I want to do right. I want to get right. I want to get back with my blah, blah, blah. So Prophet Nevins said, wait a minute. Let me go put my robe on. When he came back, the attitude of that woman changed. She was just like a wild woman and ran out the church. I never will forget what he told us. He said, sir, he said, leave her alone. He said, just pray for her. He said, because she liked what she's in. He said, I saw in the spirit she'd been with seven different men. He said, let me tell you. He said, when you're married, you're one flesh, you're one mind. He said, she's in a battle. And you're going to make it worse. He said, let alone. The young lady died about 6 months later.
Mm-hmm.
So I say that to say that a lot of times people in sin may misjudge how long they think they have because they continue to dwell in sin.
Yeah.
But my grandfather always told me, you know, I love to talk about my grandfather because I learned a lot. Years ago, he always told me about it was a certain type of lizard called a road lizard. He said a road lizard is a lizard that go in the road and misjudge how far a car is from him because he can't see good. He said he'll go in the road because he hit a car coming, but he misjudge how far the car is away from him. So he'll back off the road. Then he'll run right back in the road, but when he run in the road, that time the car hit him because he misjudged how far the car was from him. So in sin, you got to wake up. You got to open your eyes. You can't misjudge because you doing what you're doing wrong now, that very night you may not be him. Because, Apostle, I have had a lot of friends that I grew up with that's dead. Ended up in prison. And I thank God I never was on drugs. I never went to jail. I ain't never had a speeding ticket. And I think, just like I said before, I really believe because of my grandmother praying for me, it kept me. I mean, I was around the scene. I saw people get shot. I saw people get killed right in clubs and stuff. And go right back to the club. But my grandmother used to pray for me. And, I thank God for it. And I just want to say, man, you know, I did a lot of things in my life. My grandfather used to tell me, he said, boy, when I finally changed, made a change, he died in 76. I made a change before he died. And he said, man, I think Lord is working on you because I tell you one thing, when the devil lost you, he sure lost a good servant. So my grandfather said he started changing me. So that did me good before he died. But I just want to say I thank God this day. And I just thank God for being alive because I know if you're alive today and doing something, you ain't got no business. It's just another day to get right with God. And Apostle, I want to say bless you and tell Prophetess Kersey, I was on the line, but I had took that medicine and I was kind of woozy, but tell her I really enjoyed it. I didn't say nothing because I was talking kind of funny, and, you know, I was feeling kind of funny, and I didn't want to get online, and so, oh, Lord, the elder man got online, and he'd been drinking. So,
yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not saying they would have said that, but you know how some, oh, Lord, I know something. He talking all that Jesus, but I know something was wrong with that man.
Yeah.
So, but I thank you, Apostle Calvin. And I thank Apostle Stewart because he have been a big influence in my life. Both of y'all have. Because I said one thing about Apostle Stewart, he will call me. And one thing I like about him, and he may be on the line, I'm telling the truth, he'll talk with me. And we'll reminisce, and then he'll pray for me. Then he'll start preaching. So then he'll pray. Then you come back preaching. So if I miss church, I get a whole lot of preaching when I talk to Apostle Stu. So I just want to thank God for him and his wife because they have been a blessing to me. And I wish everybody on the line a safe journey and family be all right. I don't know if it's storming over there, but don't worry about the storm. If you're in the hand of God, you ain't got to worry about no storm. So I just thank God for being alive. Thank you, Apostle Calvin.
Thank you, Elder, for coming on and sharing. And you know the Lord is healing your eyes. Perfect. You know, everything he's doing out for his glory, you know.
Well, Apostle Calvin, the reason it was kind of touchy because man say I'm that borderline diabetic. Now, I don't say that, but man said. So before I had the surgery, they had to make sure my sugar was all right. So they put me on a steroid, which is all right. They healed. But then they put me on another steroid, a diuretic. It's like to keep the pressure down and that. That's the one that made me dizzy. Make me dizzy. I never know the eye doctor could make you that dizzy. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
But that's why I'm laying down there because when I sit up and walk, I be kind of unsteady.
Mm.
So, but that was the problem. But, you know, I never will forget my daughter. When my daughter was born, they diagnosed her with cerebral palsy. And I used to go on many years of going to the doctor with her because she went to the doctor many years. A lot of times, four or five trips in 1 month to Children's Hospital in Birmingham. Shea Clinic, that's in Nashville, Tennessee. That's the number one hearing clinic in the nation for kids with disabilities. And every time I go, people say, well, what's wrong with her? What's wrong? Oh, I said, nothing. So some people say, well, man, you don't see your child in a wheelchair. I said, I'm in the spirit. I said, you looking at her in physical. I said, I don't see no wheelchair. And really, I didn't. I never looked at her disability or special or whatever because I just never looked at it. It didn't bother me because it was my child because I know God was a healer. So, and whether he healed her or not, he knew I was going to do what I had to do for her. I mean, there wasn't no doubt about it. You know, I had a grandfather. He didn't leave me. I never knew my dad. But my grandfather never leave me. And he always told me, when you get kids, never leave your kids. He said, if they brain damaged, crazy, good or bad, never leave your kid. So I was going to stick with my daughter the whole 31 years. And I was with her until my wife died in Oakland. Then I was alone with her. Then I realized what women go through that got kids and don't have a man in the house. And I realized it ain't easy as a lot of men think it is. Because I never thought I'd be changing diapers. I never thought I'd be bathing, feeding, going to the doctor 6-7 times a month. Because she was born premature and, you know, they thought she was going to die. But by the grace of God, she lived to be 31 years. So, see, that's why like I said on the line before, I really mean what I said. I have no option in life. but to trust God.
Amen.
I done did some of everything. I done had some of everything happen to me. Things still going on. But I have no option in life, Apostle Callan, but to trust God. So that's
Amen.
The way I look at it, and that's the way I live. So God bless everybody on the line.
God bless you too, sir. Thank you for sharing. And I hear the spirit of the Lord in your voice, and that's all that matters. You are giving it all. You're giving it all to the Lord, and that's what He wants. You know, because when it's all said and done, that's all that matters. I tell that I would bless this morning. You know, sometimes after a prayer, I like to watch the prices right or make a deal or whatever, them shows like that in the morning. And sometimes I go on my computer and look on the computer. And this morning I saw that, I talked about it in the service. I saw that post that really blessed me. I mean, it just energized my spirit. And this man was going after money. That was all he was living for. And to show him running down the highway, the money was in the atmosphere. He's running, trying to get the money, you know. And he kept running. And like he ran from one highway to the next highway behind the money. And when he finally catches up to the money, his chest, he had all the money, all of these. It looked like so much money he had on his chest that it was dropping on the ground. But the road had come to an end. It was no more highway. The highway had come to the end like a cliff, like it just disappeared. And when I looked at that, the Spirit of the Lord says, this is what most people are doing. They're trying to get the world, but after they get the world will be no more. What is they going to do? And that thing messed my mind up, you know, because people today, and you've seen it happening in the church, that folk started out preaching with so much tenacity, and then they let go of preaching and glorifying God, and they start going after riches, Rolex watch, Lamborghini, Ferrari. You know, Ferrari is good, a Rolex watch is good. But then you're making these things, and the big house with the two swimming pools and all this stuff, four car garage, you're making those things God, you know. You're worried about people going to come and break in the house. You spend more time on losing the jewelry and stuff you have than losing your soul. Man, I mean, little things that I see, man, just push me in His presence. It just pushed me in His presence. Because that's what really matters. That's what really matters. That's what's really going to count. If I don't have stuff, you know what I look at, Apostle? I look at what I already have. I don't look at what I don't have. I look at what I already have. I praise Him for that. See, they're around here worrying about millions of dollars and all that. No, they're going to come, they're going to come. But I know the 2 cents I got that He gave me, I'm going to praise Him for that. Because there's somebody today that don't have 2 pennies. But I got two. I got more than 2 pennies. You know, that's the truth. I'm thanking God. God makes a way for me and blesses me, you know. And I said to myself, you know, I don't have all the money that other people got, but God make a way for me. I can go to any country I want to. Any country I want to. That God make a way that I can travel anytime I want to. So I thank God I don't have to do it. But God said, if I'm sending you here to preach, you got the money, access to the money to go and preach. You ain't got to worry about it. And I thank God for that, because that just tell me, if somebody called me and said, look, Pastor, I need you to come and preach in the slums tomorrow, next week. As long as the airlines got vehicle, I can say, well, call the airlines. Look, I need a ticket. I need a ticket to Amsterdam. I need a ticket to Brazil. Because I know God going to protect me wherever I go. I know that because He proved it to me. If I go into the Kundalini spirits and the Marine spirits and all these wicked Satan spirits want to come to kill me, I know God going to protect me because He did it before. Amen. He did it before in Africa.
You know, so I'm not afraid. So, but I thank God for you all. Evangelist Brung is on the line. She's come to tell us that her surgery went well and doing well, and she's recovering. We thank God for her. Apostle Stewart, been praying for you, and Pastor Joyce, been praying for you, woman of God. I don't know who else, but I know other people that sent out the glory and call for them to pray for you all over the world. So they're praying for you. So the line is open.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank God.
Brothers Brown.
Thank God that he brought me through my surgery, carpal tunnel. I'm just recuperating because my hands were really cold, but you said get some sensation. I never experienced that. They give you, mess with your nerves, man. So I just thank the Lord for the prayers that went up for me because that's the type of God that we serve, and I just thank God for your message today. Ask you to pray for me and Pastor Brown. He's helping me out because I can't really do my work like I ought to. But he's a good husband. He's helping me out a lot. So I thank God for the day he has made because we are in for a big, big blessing. I'm waiting. I know it's coming. But like you said,
yes.
We thank God for what we have and don't complain what we don't have. Thank God because somebody today didn't get up.
Right.
Somebody went on.
That's right.
A 10-year-old girl got shot down here. 10 years old. She got stabbed right down here this morning somewhere.
Jesus.
It's terrible. It's awful. So all this stuff is happening. How's Sister Nancy? Give her my love. Tell her I asked for her and your granddaughter. And just pray for us that we may pray for one another, that God would have his way because it's almost May already. Time is really moving. So we got to do work.
That's
while
right.
This day when that comes, nobody can work. So I'm excited to be in the land and the living. I'm excited
Hallelujah.
To wake up from that anesthesia. They anesthesia, they put
yes.
that after they put you under. You don't know what they're doing.
Hallelujah.
What they be doing. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God I can come back to my house. Thank God I can look at my husband. They said, you're in recovery. I said, where's my husband? That's what I asked for. Praise God.
Yeah,
praise
that's
God.
That's right. Hallelujah.
So I just thank the Lord. I just thank the Lord for you all's prayers. Keep praying for you as we pray for one another. God bless.
God bless you. Father, we just thank you and praise you for the evangelist. Thank you for her pastor, her husband, Pastor Brown. Father, thank you for the great work that you have done on taking care of her knees, Lord. And we thank you for that recovery, even right now, that you're giving a speedy recovery. Lord, you are such a majestic God, such a sovereign Lord. Lord, you are mighty in all your works, oh God. We just thank you. Thank you for blessing them beyond their comprehension, oh God, for making crooked places straight before them and rough places plain, Lord. We just ask, God, that you continue to set up the banner, oh God, where they are, that they know that you are in the house, you are in the office, oh God, to protect them, to keep them safe and secure, Lord God, to provide all their needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, Lord. We thank you for the healing virtue, oh God, of Jesus Christ, oh God, that is resting upon this woman of God. Father, we ask, oh God, that you, oh God, heal her speedily, that she can get back to her place, oh God, of encouraging her husband, oh God, and encouraging the people that are out there in the land, oh God, in the living God. We just pray today, oh God, that you begin to be magnified in their ministry, oh God, that you be glorified in their ministry, God, that you do works, oh God, in them and through them and with them, oh God, for your glory. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen, amen. We're so grateful that you're home. And I know Pastor Brown is grateful, too. And you're healing fast, because I already told the Lord, I said, Lord, let my sister, let her be healed speedily. Speedily. You know, because, you know, God does it. He said, let there be light, and there was light. You know, so I just know that he's already said that healing is taking place, you know. But, you know, we are grateful for you. Thank you for coming on and letting the folks. Apostle, he was on. He says that we're praying, man, Pastor Joyce. We've been praying for Evangelist Brown, you know, because, you know, it's no joke. Even though it's just knee surgery, when you're going under, when they got to put you under anesthesia, anything can happen. Anything can happen, you know, when they put you under anesthesia. But when you're going under in Christ, hallelujah, glory to God, there's no fear. And you're going under in Christ, there's no fear, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's no fear. Thanking God for you all. God bless you, Pastor Brown and Evangelist Brown. The line is open.
The line is open. Thank you, Elder. Okay, Evangelist Brown, go ahead and pray us out. Pray us out, please.
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, God. We praise you today. We thank you, Lord, for all those on the line. We just thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day, God. We thank you for what you've already done and what you're going to do. Lord, we love you. We praise you, oh God. There's nobody like you can. Nobody do you like Jesus. God, we ask you to touch every soul on the sound of my voice. Ask you to bless Apostle Calvin and his wife and his family. Bless my family. Bless Pastor Brown. Bless our grandchildren and great-grands. God, keep us in your care, God. Keep us humble, oh Lord. We just thank you for Sister Tina. We just thank you for all those that make up the line. We just thank you, oh God. We're waiting for the great big blessing that you have in store for us, oh God.
Yes,
you told us, oh God, if you're going to pray, don't worry. If you're going to worry, don't pray. God, everything is in your hands today, God. We thank you for this day that we never seen before. We ask you to continue to bless us, oh God. If you find anything that we've done and said, forgive us this day. Thank you for the man of God that you brought him through his surgery, oh God. We thank you for all those that are going through. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank God for you all. God bless you. We love you, but God love you more. Have a blessed evening. We'll see you all tomorrow if the Lord say the same and we're in the land of the living. Have a blessed and safe day. In Jesus' holy name.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Amen.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless, Pastor.